Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Can we bring these lights down a little? I just want to be able to see everybody. My glasses are all scratched up, so I literally see nothing. Awesome. Thank you. It's so great to be able to be back with you guys in cold Colorado. I was in Honduras, and it's super hot there. And I was, like, for 2 weeks saying, like, I'm going to go to another climate soon. I can't wait. And then as soon as I got here, I was like, I'm not used to it anymore. But it's always great to be back here at home, home here at North Rock as well, and seeing all of you guys. I think today is going to be a little bit different, if that's okay with you guys. I feel like I'm just supposed to share my testimony of 2019 and what God has taught me through this year. So it's going to be super vulnerable for me. A lot of the stuff that I'm going to share, I don't know, some of you guys might not even know. But I just feel like I'm supposed to share my testimony of this year and what God is doing through me, because as God's given me the opportunity to share it with some people, it seems like all of us have had kind of a not great 2019. I saw somebody put on Facebook, they were like, if 2019 were a person, I would, and then there was a blank, and everybody was supposed to, like, comment what they would do. And all I wanted to put was, punch it in the throat. I don't know about you guys, if you guys have had a good 2019, I hope you have. But I know that for many of us, it's been a year full of challenges and a year that God is using to process us and make us stronger. So before I get started, I just want to pray. If you'll bow your heads with me and close your eyes. God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence. And thank you for this place that we have to come and worship you together, this family of brothers and sisters in Christ that we have just to walk with each other in difficult times, celebrate with each other in good times. God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit come into this place, that you just touch every heart, and that you speak to us today, God, through your word. That these would be your words, that this would be your hand upon each of us, God. And we just ask that you use this time, Lord, to heal us and to help us move forward into what's next, God. So we love you. We dedicate this time to you. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Okay. I'm going to start by reading a scripture in Proverbs, Proverbs 3:5, if you have your Bibles. It's a scripture that all of us have said at one time or another, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So a little over a year ago, God told me, I'm getting ready to take you through a process. And I was like, awesome, bring it on. I'm ready for it. We can do it, right? And it started with a step of obedience. I've been living in Honduras now for 5 years, if you can believe that. Feels like it's gone super fast and super slow all at the same time. I feel like, you know, the presidents, when they show, like, how they entered and then how they're leaving, I kind of feel like that a little bit in a lot of ways. But it's been great, too. So through these 5 years, God has done a lot in my life, but starting a little before 2019, I had to make a step of obedience and stop working with some of the people that I was working with in Honduras, some of the first contacts that I had made there. And it was a really difficult transition. I felt like I had to leave behind something that I had poured a lot of myself into, a lot of my time, a lot of my energy and resources. But I knew that that's what God was asking me to do. So I took that step of obedience, and as soon as I did, I knew that I was going to meet opposition. Because how many of you guys know when you take a step of obedience, opposition is always there waiting for you, right? And so it kind of began a difficult season for me, and a season where God has been having me in a process. So shortly after that, we got the news about my mom, which you guys know, my mom Debbie, and the struggle that she's been through with cancer. And so for me, being on the other side of the world and hearing that news, I was like, okay. And originally when she told me, she was like, I'm fine. It's going to be fine. Everything's, I'm like, okay, well, good. It's fine. Until it wasn't fine. When I came back a year ago, And they found the tumor in my mom's brain. God asked me a question. He said, do you trust me? And I was like, yeah, I trust you. What kind of question is that? I was almost insulted by God. Has God ever insulted you before? It's not fun. But I was like, of course I trust you. I sold everything and I moved to another country to tell people about you and teach them how to walk with you. Like, what kind of question is that? Of course I trust you. And he was like, I'm going to teach you how to trust me. And so I said, okay, great. Yeah, I can trust you more. Sure, whatever. So we start going through this process, right? With my mom's sickness, and we started hearing doctors say, like, she has a 16% chance of surviving 1 year. And you start thinking about things like that, and you're like, what the heck? And God's saying, will you trust me after I removed from you relationships from your life? Will you trust me after I removed opportunities from your life, platforms for your life? Will you trust me when you can't control what's happening with your mom, the person closest to you in this world? Will you trust me? Will you trust me when there's nothing you can do? And I just kept saying, like, yeah, I trust you, I trust you. And a few months into my mom's cancer journey, I was involved in a car accident in El Salvador. And God said, will you trust me when nothing is in your control? And all of these things kept happening. I lost a finger in the accident. I almost lost an arm in the accident. I was out of commission for a long time. It was a difficult season for me not to be able to do what I do and be away from my family, be away from my mom while she was going through chemo, I was in a country I don't know. I have two countries that I call home, and I wasn't in either of them. I was in another place, having to trust God, having to trust doctors that are from another country and do things in a totally different way and have wheelchairs made out of dollies and lawn chairs. And you just have to trust that God is in control. And he's saying, will you, I want to teach you how to trust me. And so after that, I was like, okay, I got it. I trust you. Look at how good you've been through this whole thing. And then something else happened. 3 months after my first accident where I lost the finger, 3 months to the day, I got into another car accident, you guys. Another one. And thankfully, I was not hurt. I was not driving, but it was my car. And the people in my car with me, we were not hurt, thankfully. But people in the other car were hurt. 7 of them, to be exact. 7 people were hurt. And I remember at the accident site, what had happened was the stop sign was covered by a tree. And so we didn't stop. We didn't see the stop sign. And there was a public transportation bus coming this way and took off the front of my car. And because it was coming so fast, it rolled over onto its side. And 7 people were hurt. And I remember, like, sitting in the car, like, what just happened? I don't even know what just happened. And as soon as I got out of the car, the people were frantically trying to get the people out of the bus. And the first person that they pulled out was a baby covered in blood. And at the time, I didn't even know how many people were hurt because everything happened so fast. A police car came by, and they just threw all the injured people into the back of the truck because that's how you do things in Honduras. And they just took them off in the back of the truck, and we're sitting there waiting for the police to come, waiting for insurance to come, waiting to find out what's going to happen. And so my friend who was driving my car, what happens in Honduras is if somebody is injured in an accident, the person at fault is detained in jail until the injured people decide if they're going to press charges or not. So they take my friend off to jail, and I'm standing there by myself looking at these wrecked cars, not exactly sure what's going to happen, freaking out about what's happening with that little baby or the rest of the people that they pulled out of the car. And God just saying, like, do you trust me? And I was like, I don't know what beef you have with me, God. It's funny to say it, but we had words, guys. We had words. So I was like, I don't know what beef you have with me, God. Has anybody ever been there before where you're like, what's next? Actually, I was like, I'm not going to say what's next because I'm actually terrified to find out. I don't actually want to know the answer to that question. And so I had to go to the hospital Everything in Honduras is so different. So I had to go to the hospital, and what I was told was I had to talk to all of the injured people, convince them not to press charges, assure them that their medical expenses would be paid so that my friend could get out of jail. And so that's what I did. So I had to go to the public hospital, which is one of the most terrible places on earth, and look them in the face and see their injuries, see them bleeding. Thankfully, none of their injuries were life-threatening or permanently damaging, thank God. But I had to look at all of them and say, you know, I'm so sorry that this happened. And basically what ended up happening was the judge ordered me, since it was my vehicle, the judge ordered me to pay all of the medical expenses for the seven people. I had to pay for the bus that was almost totaled in the accident, and then my car as well. And so I'm sitting here like, you're asking me if I trust you. I'm not really sure that you're even there. Like, I'm not exactly sure what you're doing, God. And so I just had to take each step of faith as he provided along the way. And the other thing in Honduras is in the hospitals, they don't give you sheets or towels or food. They don't even give you medicine. They just administer the medicine. So with these seven people that were in the hospital, some of them were in the hospital for almost 2 months, not because their injuries were so bad, but because they had to wait so long. Socialized medicine makes it so sometimes you have to wait and wait and wait. So for these 2 months, any time that they needed gauze, any time that they needed aspirin, any time that they needed food, ring, 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 ring. And what did we have to do? We had to go running and take it to them. We had to buy it, take it to them, sit with them, wait with them. Once they were home, we had to take them to their follow-up appointments, do all these things. And then the judge ordered me to pay for 3 months of their expenses since they were out of work for so long. Fun, right? Meanwhile, I'm fighting with the insurance company because my car is insured. I pay money every month so that if this happens, you're covered, right? But because of the corruption in Honduras, they denied my claim. I sent in an appeal. They denied my appeal. Right now, we're awaiting news on the second appeal. It's been a season, you guys. It's been a season. And in all of it, God has been saying, like, do you trust me? And I kept saying, like, I've trusted you in so many things. And he's like, but have you ever really had to put that to the test? Like, you're putting it to the test now. And as I had to ponder that question and look over my life, most of my life's been really easy. It's been really blessed. And even in the sacrifices or the things that I've done, a lot of that, this is not to sound braggadocious or anything, but I have a lot of talents. I have a lot of gifts, connections, resources. Really, have I ever had to put it to the test? I don't know that I've ever done anything that I had to do outside of my own strength, if I'm being honest with myself. And what God has been showing me in this process is sometimes he has to take us through processes. All of us have to go through that. We have so many examples in the Bible. We have to go through these processes so that he can blow stuff up. So that he can take stuff out of the way, so that he can destroy what is not supposed to be there. We see that with a lot of different characters in the Bible. We see Jonah, who ended up in the belly of a whale. That was not an easy process for him, but is what God had to do for him to then be able to reveal to him, to give him revelation of what needed to happen. And so God has been taking me through this process of showing me, like, you've done great, but you've done it in your own strength. And that's not what I intended it to be. I'm going to teach you how to trust in me. I'm going to teach you how to rely on my strength and my power, and then we can really do something in this world. Then we can really do something. And so I know that God has been with me in this process. Can I tell you that out of the seven people that were hurt, four of them have given their lives to Christ? You can applaud for that. It's amazing. And the other three are babies. So, you know, they will as soon as they can speak. And so four of them gave their lives to Christ. And it was 3 months after my first accident. So as I sat with them in the hospital, I was able to say, like, I know what you're feeling because I just went through it. And let me tell you how God healed me. Let me tell you how God was with me. Let me tell you how God provided for me. Because the process that I had gone through now was a testimony to somebody else going through the same thing. And two of them are now working with Via Love. Like, we have a new project in the dump with the kids that live at the dump. And they come with me now to the dump, and they're reaching out to these kids, and they're serving food, and they're doing all of these other things. Because even in the process, God is there. Even in the fire, God is there. And so I'm learning that trusting God doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy, but trusting God that even when he blows stuff up, it's because it's for a purpose, because there's something that he wants to do. Are you guys with me? After God allows us to go through a process, there's a second thing that happens, and that's the revelation. Once he's able to blow it all up, then he's able to clean it all up. Then he's able to show us, like, here's where you're off. Here's where you need to grow. Here's what you need to change. Here's what I'm doing. And he's able to fix it. He's able to make things right. In the middle of a difficult process, God still reveals things to us. Look at Joseph. Joseph was in jail when God began to reveal to him the meanings of these dreams. Jonah was in the belly of a whale when God began to speak to him and reveal things to him. Moses was in a desert when he encountered a burning bush that revealed the things of the Lord to him. God puts us in those places because sometimes that's what it takes for us to really see him and to really hear him and to allow him to do what he is doing, not in our power. Sometimes he has to make us powerless to show us his power. And that's not an easy process. But we have the process, the blow it up. Then we have the revelation, the clean it up. And then look how good God is. Then comes the growth where he gets to build it up. When he gets to make the whole process worth it, right? We've all heard the analogy of the diamond, how it's a rock and has to be chiseled and burned and all of these things to come out so beautiful. And that's great for a diamond, but it's really not fun when it's us, right? In Jeremiah 18, it talks about the potter and how he molds the clay, how he knows what he's going to make, and the potter's hands are always on the clay. But then what happens after the vase or the bowl or whatever is formed? It has to be fired. It has to be fired to become, for all the chemicals to come together and for it to become hard and for it to become sturdy and for it to become beautiful and glossy. God takes us through these processes because he's doing something in us. How many of you guys can look back over your year and you feel like God is taking you through a process? Yeah, I'm not alone, right? And I don't know if my process is over. Like I said, I don't ask what's next because I don't want to know. I just am trying to be like the quickest learner ever so that I can be done. But I know that I'm in this process. I know that God is revealing things to me. And I know that the growth that is happening in me and the growth that is to come in my life is because he actually thinks I'm worth all of this trouble, you guys. I can get frustrated with him, or I can question where he's at or why these things are happening. But the point is, I'm thankful because it means that he sees something in me worth fighting for, worth the trouble, worth all of this energy and all of this effort. If I were the potter and I were looking at me as the clay, that doesn't make any sense, but you get it, right? I would have just been like, next, this one's not worth it. It's not going anywhere. But God looks at it and says, it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. But let's smash it and rebuild some things, fix some things, right? He thinks we're worth it. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, if you have your Bibles, we're going to read that. Consider it pure misery. What does it say? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. So God's basically saying, when I blow up your life, be joyful. Because I'm doing something in you. And God's word also says in Philippians 1:6 that when he starts a work, he completes it. So he's not just going to leave me half blown up. He's not just going to leave me in shambles. He's going to complete the work that he started. The process that he has you in, there's an end to it and there's a purpose for it. You may not be able to see it right now. A lot of times when we're in the middle of it, we can't see what God is doing. We don't understand the purpose. We just feel how horrible it is, or we feel how overwhelming it is. But God has this bird's eye view. He knows what's coming next. He knows that it's going to be beautiful. He knows what he's working out. He knows the masterpiece that he's painting. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're in a process or you've been in a process, it's for something great. It's for something great. Let God blow up your life. Are you with me? If we could just stand this morning, I just want to take a couple of minutes and pray with you guys, if you could stand, because I really feel like I'm not the only one going through this right now. If you're one of those people that can say, like, man, yeah, I'm in the middle of God blowing it all up right now, will you just be vulnerable with me and raise your hand? My hand is raised. If you see someone around you with their hand raised, just put your hand on them. We're just going to pray. We're just going to say, God, thank you that even in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the storm, in the middle of the desert, we know that you are at work. We know that you're at work, God. And we know that it's because you have something so beautiful. You're the master of taking something ugly, of taking something painful and making it beautiful, and turning it into joy, turning our mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy and our darkness into light. That's who you are, God. That's your specialty. You don't know how to do it any other way. And so, God, we submit to your plan. Can you say that to God? God, I submit to your plan. Even when I don't see it, even when it's a challenge to believe it, I am the clay and you are the potter. Mold me, God. Shape me, God. Start over with me if you have to. Break me if you have to. Whatever you have to do. But my life is yours. Mold me, God. Shape me, God. Put me through the fire. Take out every impurity in me, God, every defect, and make me better from glory to glory, more like you every day. Blow it up, God, so that you can clean it up and build it up for your glory, God. I surrender myself. Can you say that? I surrender myself to you, God. God, I thank you for all the little ways that you show us that you're there along the journey. For the oasis in the middle of the desert, God. For the breath of fresh air when we can't breathe. For the little glimpses of what you're doing. For the people that come to know you along the way through our pain, that we can still see you at work. God, thank you for that. Thank you for the hope that you always give us, the hope that we always have, that you're doing something and that you're doing something eternal. God, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. It's beyond our faith. Our faith is the gift you gave us, God, but trusting you is what we choose to do with that faith. It's what we choose to do with that faith, to say that I know that with you I am stable, with you I am secure, with you all things work for the good, and I trust you. Whatever has to happen for your plan to come forth, I trust you. I just want to encourage you guys. I know that this year has been hard for me, but God has been so good too. My mom is healed, you guys. Yeah. She wasn't supposed to be here, but she is. The devil tried to kill me too, but I'm still here. Right? When I first got the bill for the second accident, I had no idea how God was going to do that. But he did it. He did it. And he's with you, whatever your process is. He's with you and he's working. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a song with Matt, and then I think Pastor Chad is going to come up.
That was good with or without a microphone, wasn't it? Very good. Can we show our appreciation for Tiffany for bearing her heart before us? You know, I got to admit, I raised my hand pretty high when she said, anybody raise your hand when things aren't going the way you envisioned that they were going to go, right? Anybody else feel that? But I can tell you one thing. There's one person that I don't want to get into a whining and complaining match with, and that's my friend Tiffany here. Tiffany, thank you for your vulnerability, for sharing the season that you've been in. Because, you know, it's one thing to read the text. It's another thing to live it out, right? Apostle Paul said that it's in our weakness that he's made strong, right? We believe that. But we don't want to submit to the process of the pressures, the challenges, and the pain that come along with him forming his character in us. Can I just say, we see the character of Jesus in you. We're thankful for your representation of the Lord in Honduras for these last 5 years. And if there's anything that I learn in seasons of pain and discomfort and difficulty, it's simply this, that God stands with you, that he is strong in the midst of our weakness. And it's the people that stand with you that he works through to encourage our hearts. So Tiffany, I just wanted to say, Jody and I are going to make a contribution to Via Love today because we're standing with you with the challenges that you're facing there in Honduras, okay? If there's something else that you guys might have been prompted by the Holy Spirit to do to help with some of the financial challenges that they're facing right now, you can always make that donation online at North Rock Church. But again, no pressure, just simply saying if God's prompted your heart to stand with our sister in the midst of a financially challenging season, there's an opportunity to do so, okay? So with that being said, maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I'm going through it too, and I don't recognize what you're talking about God being willing to stand with me in Christ. Today we'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to his Holy Spirit's prompting in your life by basically saying, God, we trust you. And that's really what this prayer is all about. We trust you in the circumstances that don't make sense. Amen. We trust you in the circumstances that we don't like. Amen. We trust you in the circumstances that we can't control. Amen. So let's pray this prayer as a reminder of where our strength comes from. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. Dedicate myself to learn the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, can we give God a clap offering for his encouragement? Thank you, Lord, that you are good and you are faithful and you are strong. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock this morning. If we can pray for you for any situation in your life, we have people available for that. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to meet you after the service. Got a gift that'll help you get started in this journey with Jesus, okay? God bless you and Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.